Chronicles chapter number 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. Now you've heard this. You've probably heard messages on this. Can you believe in almost 24 years of preaching, I have never preached on this passage of Scripture, preacher? Can you believe that? And all the years that we've been preaching, I have never preached on Jabez. And but God has been dealing with my heart in the last couple of weeks on this. And I'll tell you what, I have really enjoyed myself studying on this. And it's just been a blessing to me what God has just, we meditated and just sat with God. And I mean, it's just been a glorious time. And so I hope tonight that we can give you something. What I noticed about this is about the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is really that stuff that tends to put us to sleep if we're not careful. It's the begats, and this one begat that one, and then he goes into this and he's got this land and that land, and I don't know nothing about none of that stuff, and I'm looking at it going, well, where's that at anyway? It don't mean nothing to me because it ain't got my name. It ain't my name on the title, so it don't really mean nothing to me. So about the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, that's about what it is. And be quite honest with you, I mean, I've read it before just because it's the Word of God and God put it in here and He wants me to read it. Amen. And so I'll go on and read it. And so, but do I get a lot out of it? Not generally. Not a whole lot. But right here, it seems like right here in chapter 4, right smack dab in the middle of all of this, God seems to just put the brakes on for just a minute. And say, but wait a minute now, we've said all this about all these other guys, but this guy, we're going to stop for just a minute and tell you a little bit more about him, because he's special. Amen? As a matter of fact, God went so far as to say that he was more honorable than his brethren. Amen? And so I believe that's why God stopped here, kind of hit the pause button, and give us a little bit more information about Jabez and about his prayer. So I want you to look with me, if you will, tonight. Verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, generally, when we read, when somebody says the prayer of Jabez, what's the first thing generally comes to your mind? Enlarge my coasts. Isn't that what generally comes to our mind? I will say there's a lot more in here than that. Amen. Matter of fact, there was 5 requests in all this, and I'm not going to preach all 5 of them tonight, but I am going to give them to you. If you look at it, you'll see where he starts out and he says, bless me. Amen. Then he goes on to say, enlarge me. Then he goes on to say, fill me. Then he says, keep me. And then last of all, he says, encourage me. Amen. In the midst of God giving out these lineages of Israel and Judah, he seems to put the pause button on here when he gets to Jabez and tells us how honorable he is, as if to say, now here's a choice servant, a man whose start was sorrow, but somewhere changed to honor. Amen? Now listen, when your mama puts that on you, it's going to stick. Amen? When your mama says she bore you in sorrow, and that sticks to you, she's going to name you after that. Can you imagine what he dealt with in the playground? Amen? So here he is right in the middle of all of this. And his prayer, he began to pray this prayer. And he said, Lord, I want you to bless me. That's what he said. He said he called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. But wait a minute. It wasn't a selfish blessing that he wanted. It wasn't a blessing where that he himself, for his own good or for his own fleshly wants or desires, he didn't want the blessings of God so that he could advance himself. But his blessing had God in mind. God, he wanted to do the work of God. He had a mind and he had a heart to do the will of God. And there was nothing else that mattered to him in this life. I mean, that's what I see here. when I read about this prayer of Jabez. We see that he said to bless me. Then he went on to say, and enlarge my coast. He said, Lord, I don't want you just to bless me, but Lord, I want you to enlarge me. Enlarge me. Now listen, this goes way further. And I'm going to show you in just a few minutes, Lord willing, with his help. I want to show you here tonight that it goes way further than us just wanting to expand what we're doing. It's way further than that. That's just on the surface, you see. He said to enlarge me. I want you to take me further, Lord. You know what he's saying when he says to enlarge? When you say enlarge me, you know what you're saying? I want you to knock out all the stops. I want you to take off all the borders. Lord, I want you to take anything that I've said, this is how far I'll go. Lord, I want you to take it away. Because I don't want there to be no distance that I won't go for you. Amen. That's what that enlarge means right there. That's a lot further than just help me to pay a little bit more on my giving. Or help me to do a little bit more witnessing. Those things are commendable and that's fine. But that's not really what he's dealing with here. Specifically, I mean, that is part of it, but that's not all. That's just the surface of it. And then he went on to say, that thine hand may be with me. Well, God's hand's not going to be with us until he fills us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the hand of God is with us and upon us, then it means that the Spirit of God has full control of everything we do. Amen. I want to say, listen to me now. God's not just, he's not playing second fiddle to nobody. Amen. God's got a plan, he's got a will, and he's got something he's wanting to do with every single one of us. Amen. But what he's wanting us to do is just to empty out ourselves and let us get filled with the Spirit of God. So what does Jabez say? He said, I want you to, your hand to be upon me wherever I go. He's saying, God, I want you to fill me. I want you to have control of me. Amen. And so then he goes on and he says that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Amen. I don't want to have anything to do with evil. He said, I want you to keep me. Amen. And then lastly, he says here, he says that it might not grieve me. That it might not grieve me. He said, I want you to encourage me. I don't want to be grieved over this thing. Now, right there is where my heart's at tonight. That it might not grieve me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you. I want to thank you tonight, Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy. And I want to humble myself just as much as I know how to do, Lord. And God, I want to help these precious folk and my pastor. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd give me wisdom. Lord, I can't do anything without you. I know that tonight, Lord. I'd rather sit down right now than try to make a mess of this. But Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart that this is what you want for this hour, for these people in this church. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help me to be able to convey what's on my heart and what you put in me through this message. God, help me through the Spirit of God to be able to get this to the people tonight. And I pray, oh Holy Spirit, that you would move and finger around in our hearts here tonight. God, help us to say all that you'd have us to say, no more and no less. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for all that you do. And we ask all these things, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name for your sake. Amen. I want you to notice this, if you will. This is what really jumped out at me. Now, most of the time when we hear about the prayer of Jabez, about all we hear about most of the time, the books that are written and commentaries and different things that are said, about everybody always zooms in on that little statement, enlarge my coast. And that's fine. That's fine. Not a thing. That's a good message. That's a good thought. That's a good direction to go. But that's not really where my heart zoomed in on this thing. When I got to studying these things and I saw where he said to bless me, enlarge me, fill me, keep me, and to encourage me. The last one that we see right there, what he says in verse number 10, he said that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That little word, grieve, jumps out and grabbed my heart. That little word, grieve, you know what that told me? That told me that Jabez was in such a place in his life that if God would not grant this for him, that it would grieve him. When was the last time we got grieved because we couldn't do more for God? Huh? I looked this little word grieve up, preacher. This kind of blew my mind. The Hebrew, now I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I'm none of that, but I do like to study the words because I believe you can get something out of them. You squeeze them a little bit like that. This word, grieve, right here, it's used as a different English word in some other places, but it's the same Hebrew word. And sometimes that's important because if you look at the context in which God's using it, you can see what God really wants us to get out of this. This word, grieve, did you know it's also used in Jeremiah chapter 44? It's used as the word worship. But it's not the worship you might think. It's in a negative sense. Jeremiah was rebuking Israel for worshiping false gods. And when he uses the word worship referring to their worship of false gods, it is the exact same word as grieve right here in the Hebrew. And there's another place in Isaiah chapter 63 that he uses it. And Isaiah is rebuking Israel once again. And the Spirit of God is moving in, and Isaiah is coming in and he says this. He said, "Ye have vexed the Holy Spirit." That word vexed is the exact same Hebrew word as grieve right here. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Well, I wrote it down because I knew I wouldn't remember. I'll go around my elbow to get to my nose if I don't write this stuff down. Grieve literally means properly to carve, to fabricate or fashion, to pain or anger, to displease, hurt or make or be sorry. What Jabez is revealing is in his statement, and this is what we get. When we read this, you can look through this passage of Scripture, or this prayer of his, and you can see when you get down to the word grieve, when he makes that little statement, that it may not grieve me. You see, a lot of people, when they pray, they say, "Well, Lord, if you'll do this, Lord, enlarge my coast. Lord, make me what you want me to be. Do all of this." But in the back of our mind somewhere, we're going, "And if you don't do it, then okay, no big deal." That wasn't the case with Jabez. Jabez says, "Lord, if you don't do this, it's going to grieve me." Now that word grieve, I've already told you what it means. He said, what Jabez is revealing is in his statement is that he had so died to self that if God would not take him to this next level, that it would be to him, Jabez, as if he had worshipped a false god or be vexed as God would be if he had done so. Let that sink in just a minute. It would be, he put his petition, his petition became a pulse. Do you get that? His petition became a pulse. In other words, it wasn't just a list. It was him. It was his life's blood. "Lord, if you don't do this, it's as if I'm worshiping a false god and I'm going to die." I mean, that's literally what he's meaning by this. He said, "Lord, if you don't do this, it's going to grieve me." Amen? So I thought about this. When is the last time that we were grieved that we couldn't go further with God? You see, a lot of folks, they'll get so far and they've got that thing flipped around the other direction. It's almost like God's over here and they're pulling away from him and he's got them by the coattail trying to pull them back in. And he said, "Well, he got a little bit of me here. He's got a little bit of me here." And we're leaning this way. But what we need to be doing is leaning this way toward God and saying, "God, I want more of you. God, I want more. I want more. I want more." And I'll tell you what I find. I want more, but I get in the way. I get in the way. Amen. I stand in the way of my own heart. You hear what I'm saying? I stand in the way of my own heart getting satisfied, and I end up getting grieved.
by my own flesh. It's not my wife that causes it. It's not my kids that cause it. It's not my neighbors that cause it. It's not even Brother Johnny that causes it. Just picking on you a little bit, brother. You know that. It's me. I'm standing in the way of my heart being satisfied. I want to ask you, have you got to that place yet? A lot of you have. A lot of you have. You can identify and you know exactly where I'm at with this. Your heart longs and your heart thirsts and hungers for righteousness. Yeah. Got good news. It'll be filled. Amen. That's what Jesus said. It shall be filled. Can we imagine being in such a place with God that we could pray such a selfless prayer? We find another man by the name of Paul in the same place. Look with me. Hold your place right here. We're going to come back to this. But I want you to see the scriptures in Romans chapter number 7. The Apostle Paul was in this same place. Look at chapter number 7 in Romans, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And he wasn't talking about his church members. He's talking about his flesh. The weakness is in his flesh. Look at verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's not stop reading yet, because we get the answer to that question in the next verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Notice there's a period after Lord right there. That means he's answering his own question. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This prayer of Jabez goes way further, way deeper than just wanting to give more or do more or go a little further. It's talking about that personal, intimate relationship between the believer, Jabez, and his God, his Savior. So my next thought is this. What brings us to such a place? What is it that brought Jabez to this place? Listen, it's one thing, and you preachers know I'm telling it right. It's one thing for us to stand here and tell us what you ought to do. You ought to do this, and you ought to do that, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do that. It's one thing, and we ought to do that. But I think it's another color, if you will, to be able to tell people how to do it. Because sometimes we just don't know, do we? Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been told a lot of things. You ought to do this, you ought to do that. You ought. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Not all of us have been saved for 38 years. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, Jabez gives us the answer right here in his prayer. If we look at it. Look back over in our text right quick. Now, I'm trying to take my time tonight because I really want you to get this.
I believe this message has the potential to change our lives completely, how we serve God. Folks, it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It is not. Now listen, if that's the only way you can get by, okay, have at it. But when we start serving from the heart because of the relationships that's between us and our Savior, when we start serving Him out of a heart that loves Him and cares for Him, and we're not scared to death, listen to me, we're not scared to death that He's going to beat us with an ugly stick. I'm not saying that we don't fear God. Don't misunderstand me. But all I'm saying is our motive changes. Amen? Our motive changes. And now I don't serve Him just out of fear because I'm afraid He's going to do something to me. I do because I want to. I want to be close to Him. I've got a desire and a hunger. I just want to grab Him up and hug on Him and kiss on Him and love on Him and pull Him up next to me. I get my Bible sometimes and I'll stand there in my study and I just hold my Bible up tight because that's the closest I can get to touching Him, amen. Listen, there's a hunger down in my soul that just wants to go and be with Him. That's the Apostle Paul had, amen. Three things that we noticed in his prayer that I believe will get us to where Jabez was at in his prayer. You say, what is it, preacher? The first one's found in verse number 10, just before, where he says that it may not grieve me. Look what he said. Let's read verse 10 again. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I want you to be real familiar with this prayer by the time we get done with this message. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me. Look at this. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. You see that? Listen to me. What can bring us to this place where Jabez was at? It's when sin becomes sinful. You hear what I'm saying? When sin becomes sinful. When we view sin the way God reviews sin. We look at sin and we are repulsed by it the same way God looks at sin and is repulsed by it. You see, we're living in it. We're living in this cesspool. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying the facts. The fact is we're living in it. We're fighting this stinking flesh every day of our life. And it's a battle. Sometimes it's a real battle. Just to keep this old flesh in check and keep it where it needs to go so my soul and my spirit can be satisfied in perfect fellowship with my Savior. Amen. Let me ask you something. Don't answer, but have you got that hunger down in there right now? Can you feel that hunger? That's what I'm talking about. That hunger for righteousness. That thirst to go that next step with God. I'm going to tell you what, folks. A life of faith is just it's phenomenal. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to say, we see right here what was in his prayer. He said, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Now, I'm afraid a lot of us pray something like this. Lord, help me to be victorious over the temptations. That's not exactly what he's praying here. He said, deliver me from the evil. In other words, Lord, don't even let that evil come my way.
Right.
Is that not what he's saying? Lord, I don't want that evil nowhere around me. When sin becomes sinful. Now listen, this prayer, Jesus mentioned this exact same thing twice that I know of, maybe more. There's two times I know. One is in Matthew chapter 6 in the Beatitudes. or not Beatitudes, but in the Sermon on the Mount. Amen?
In the model prayer. That's exactly right. Look at it with me real quickly. I'm going to flip over and then we're going to go back over to Romans. John. We'll go to John. Look at Matthew 6:13. Here's the model prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you see that? Now look at John 17. Well, I got you turning. Look at John chapter 17, verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You see that? That's the same prayer that our Lord has prayed for us in John 17. He put it in the model prayer that we are to pray that God would keep us from evil. How are we going to stay from evil? When we call sin, sin. When sin becomes sinful, amen. Isn't that exactly what happened the day, the hour, the moment that you got saved? Did sin not become sinful? Did not God, the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, show you that those things that are in your life are not right and God's not pleased with that? And the law of God punctured your heart and said, that's not right, that's not right, you're not right with God. And you said, that's right, Lord, I'm not right. Oh, this is wrong, but Lord, I want you. And you throwed yourself at the feet in the mercy of God, and God saved you. Amen. Isn't that what happened? I mean, in so many words, that's essentially what took place. We saw sin sinful. We saw sin the way God sees sin. And we looked at us and we're leprous. We've got that old sinful leprous all over us. We go, I can't do nothing about it. But Jesus said, come to me and I'll take care of it for you. Amen. Look back over in Romans chapter 7 with me again. Give you another verse right here. Romans chapter 7, verse number 13. Let's just begin reading in verse 9. I'll read it fast. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, or because of this, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Look at verse 13. Don't miss this. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin. Boy, that's important. But sin that it might appear sin. Working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. What he's saying is this. If this is us, and I've got this little napkin right here, and that's the sin that's in our life. Why, you can't hardly see that, can you? But when the law enters in, and that sin becomes exceeding sinful, now what does it do? It stands out, don't it? How are we going to get to this place where Jabez was at? We're going to have to see the sin as being sinful. We're going to have to look around for it. We're going to have to dig around in our homes for it. Amen? We're going to have to go through our homes and say, there it is. Yep, there it is. There it is. We're going to have to look inside of ourselves
And we're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to search us, to try us, and to know us. We're going to have to get honest with God. And we're going to have to say, "Dear God, search me out. Take the light of the Word of God and shine it down in my spirit. And show me those dark places of sin. Put the light on them, Lord. Show them to me, Lord. God, I want to see them. I want it out. I want to go." Why? Because it grieves me. Lord, if that's what's holding me from getting to you, if I can't have a more victorious life with you, Lord, it's grieving me. I might as well worship a false god. Amen? Secondly, not only when sin becomes sinful, but secondly, our past does not dictate our future. When we can look at our past and we can see where there's a negativity there, and if we're not careful, we get discouraged by that. But let's flip that thing around the other way as well. I know a lot of people that have gotten saved that had according to this world's definition, a glorious life. But when they get saved, they leave all that worldly stuff behind and they come down here where us common people are. And then what was the big Billy Sunday? Baseball player. Got saved. What did he do? He left the baseball field and all those millions of dollars and went to preaching the Word of God. Took on a reproach of Christ to the world. Amen? He left all of that. What I'm saying tonight is this. Our past does not dictate our future, no matter what it is. Here's a man by the name of Jabez that started out as a reproach. Here's a man that started out and he was not a blessing. His mama didn't name him Jabez because he came into the world as a blessing. She named him Jabez because he was suffering. Amen? He grew up with the name of reproach. Amen. He was born with sorrow. That's what it says right here. He was born in sorrow. And that's why his mom. But you know what? God took him from one that was born in sorrow, born him again, and made him one of honor. And all that sorrow that he had behind him had nothing to do with that honor. His past did not dictate his future. So what is our future? Well, Stacy, you hit it this morning. You was jumping all over this, and I was going, amen, amen, amen. Our reproach is to bear the cross. That's what God calls us to do. How do we get to that place where Jabez was, where that he said, "It's going to grieve me. It's as if I'm going to worship a false god. If God, if you don't enlarge me, if you don't bless me, if you don't fill me, God, if you don't deliver me from evil, if you don't do all this, God, I'm going to die over here." How do you get there? You realize that now that we've been born again, there's a cross to bear. And let me say this very carefully. Bearing the cross, you've heard me say this before and I stand by it. Bearing the cross is not suffering. See, how do you know that, preacher? Because there's a lot of people in this world that are suffering that are not bearing the cross of Christ. Am I right? There's a lot of suffering going on in this world. And it's people that are lost without Christ, without hope. And if we don't get the gospel to them, they're going to die and go to hell. So, listen to me. Bearing the cross is not just suffering. People say, "Well, it's my cross to bear. I guess I'll just have..." No. The suffering will get you on the cross. Oh yeah, you're going to have to be willing to suffer. You're going to have to be willing to open yourself up and say, "Dear God, I don't care what it takes, Lord. I don't care what you got to bring into my life. I don't care, Lord, wherever you take me, it's right because you're God, you're sovereign, and you're holy, and you know it all. And God, you're my Savior. And wherever I'm at in this universe, as long as I'm with you, that's all that matters." But we don't like suffering. But I'm going to say this, it takes suffering to get us on the cross. And it's just like our pastor's already said, that cross was a place of death.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, your flesh don't want to die. There ain't nothing, Steve, there ain't not one single molecule in your body, in your flesh, that wants to die. But when we get saved, that is exactly our future. That is our future. Look at Luke chapter number 9. I'm going to go back over where Stacy was at this morning for Sunday school. In Luke chapter number 9, Jesus give us that scripture. And he said unto them all in verse 23. Now he said this in the Gospel of Matthew and also Mark. I want you to notice this. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me. Well, if you've been born again, that's what you did. You made a decision that you were going to follow Christ. Okay? What about it? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's why Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Every morning when he woke up, aren't you glad the mercies of God are renewed every day? You know why the mercies of God are renewed every day? Because we have to die to self every day. Amen. Are you getting that? Are you getting this down in you? Is it going? Listen to me. I'm trying to get us where Jabez was at, amen. Where we can get grieved when we can't go further with God instead of just being satisfied where we're at. Huh? I believe most of you here have probably got that same hunger, that same desire, that same drive down inside of you. Maybe it's something you just hadn't realized. Is there somewhere, listen to me, here's a real easy litmus test. You know what a litmus test is, don't you? Don't ask me to define it, but I know what it is. But anyhow, we used to do it in school, check the acid level and different stuff. Well, here's how you can find out. What is it in our lives that the flesh has got control over? What are we doing when we start looking around our lives? And you can go home tonight and pray about this. Get in your prayer closet and let the Spirit of God begin to search your heart. My Uncle Irvin used to say it like this. People come to him, they used to come to him, and I know you do, you too, preacher. I've pastored, so they've come to me too. I know how it is. And they want you to put your stamp of approval on something that's in their life that shouldn't be there. Well, preacher, what's wrong with this right here? Is anything wrong with this? Can I do this? And they've already settled it in their mind that that's what they want to do. But they want to get permission from somebody else so they can feel good about it. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit's done spoke to their heart and told them they can't do it. Really? They just won't listen. Right. My Uncle Irvin used to say it like this. If you got any doubts or wonders, just guess at it. I'll guarantee you hit it the first time. Yeah. Just guess at it. Well, could it be this? Yep, that's it. Right there it is. Then guess at another one. You'll find another one. Look around in our lives, amen. And see the things where the flesh has got control. What are you going to do about them? If you see them, you're accountable for them. Am I telling the right preacher?
Oh, yes. You're right.
Now, if I don't know about it, God won't hold me accountable. If he shows them to me, that's exactly right. What I'm saying is,
Our past does not dictate our future. And our future is a life of reproach in this world and to bear the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter number 2 quickly. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. I want you to see this. Beginning in verse number 5. Let. You know what that word means in the Greek? Let. Let the dog out. Huh? Let the dog in, some of you. God help you. Let a dog sleep on your bed. Something wrong with you. Lord have mercy. I ain't getting into all that. Steve said, go and preach that, brother. No, I'll stay away from all that. I don't prefer it. You can do what you want to with that. I don't find any scripture in the Bible over that. Look what he said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what's he saying? Think like Jesus thought. Huh? Have the same mind of Christ. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus do anything to satisfy his flesh? Other than feeding it. I mean, there were some necessities there. But I'm saying he didn't fall to it. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, I often wondered this, and the Lord showed me this one time. I thought, Lord, how is it that you could say, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then he followed it up with, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. Now, wait a minute. It was the will of God for Jesus to die. Why would he make that statement in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be thy will? Not my will, but thy will. So Jesus had a will.
Oh yeah.
That first part of that statement was his flesh speaking, wanting to have its way. It didn't want to die. And Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that that flesh feared. Any way you look at it. You go read it sometime. Hebrews chapter number 5. He feared his flesh. But wait a minute. He wasn't controlled by it.
Right.
It wasn't sinful flesh like you and I have.
Right.
Oh no.
Right.
But it was flesh that didn't want to die. It was the same kind of flesh that Adam and Eve had when God created them before sin in the garden. And it didn't want to die. But at the same time, it was subject to the Spirit. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Holy Spirit took over. He said, no flesh, this is the only way. And Jesus submitted himself. That's the mindset that he's talking about right here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Drop down to verse number 7. He says here that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Do you see that? I'm talking about dying to self. If we're going to get to this place where Jabez was at, if we're going to get to that place where it's going to grieve us, if we can't get closer to God, if we can't go on for God in the furtherance with Him, it's going to grieve us. How do we get there? We've got to die to self. We've got to humble ourselves. It ain't about you. Huh? We make a lot of excuses. And I say this a little bit strong, but I'm going to say it. I'm not over here drawing up. God, what's he going to say? He don't care. We make a lot of provisions for this flesh that we don't even recognize. I'm going to say this. We do what we want to do.
You better believe that.
Oh, yeah. We got a revival night or something going on, and well, I got to
I got to work tomorrow. I got to do this. I got to do that. And all the excuses, this flesh will start throwing out all kinds of excuses why we can't come. And sometimes we'll listen to it. We say, well, I can't do that. I'm going to get home too late. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And yada, 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 and all this bunch of junk. That's not dying to self.
Right.
That's catering to the flesh.
Amen.
But we justify it. We justify it. Now listen to me. Are you not glad that Jesus didn't listen to his flesh? His flesh didn't want to die. I mean, it was human flesh like ours, with the exception of sin. It wasn't sinful nature like us, but it was flesh nevertheless. It didn't want to die. What if he had listened to his? We'd have no hope. How do we get to this place where Jabez was at? We die to self. Look at Galatians chapter 2. You know where I'm going. In verse number 20. I could quote this, but I want you to read it with me. I want you to see it with your own eyeballs. And you know this. You know this. I'm not telling you nothing you don't already know. I ain't giving you nothing new under the sun tonight. This is all basic stuff. In verse number 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know what being on the cross is? Do you know what it literally is to take up the cross? It's a life of faith. It's a life of believing God.
Yeah.
It's the reproach that you talk about this morning, brother. But that's not all there is to it. That's just a part of it. It's a life of saying no to the flesh and yes to God. It's a life of saying, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
This is a life of I'm taking my hands off of it. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to say a word. And I'm going to let God handle it. That's a life of faith. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work. But I know this. I know the one that's in control. Amen.
Amen.
That is living a life of taking up the cross. And pain and suffering, just like Jesus went through on his cross. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And I've done give you scriptures, and you know this, I don't have to tell you this. We already know that Paul was the same kind of man as Jabez. He had that same desire to walk with God. He had that same drive. It's a life of faith. And die to self. I'm going to read you this, then we're going to move on. I was going to give you this a while ago, but I'm going to hit it and run. Pride says, how dare you offend me? Humility says, do what you will, I'm not offended. Pride says, do it my way or else. Humility says, how can we work together? Pride says, you do for me. Humility says, I'll do for you. Pride says, it's not my fault. Humility says, I don't care who's at fault. Pride says, I can do it. Humility says, I need some help. Amen? Our past does not dictate our future. Sin becomes sinful. Lastly, I'm going to give you this. We'll be done. A prayer life
becomes a life of prayer. You want to say it? A prayer life. We use that term flippantly sometimes. Oh yeah, I got a prayer life. But is it a life of prayer? That's where Jabez was at. Notice what he said in verse 10 again. Jabez called on the God of Israel.
What is this we're looking at? What is it that God stopped in the middle of 9 chapters of these lineages and this history and all this that He was given for Israel? And He stops right in the middle of it to look at what? A prayer. You know why He stopped to look at it as a prayer? And you know why that God said that He was more honorable than His brethren? Because He had a prayer life that was a life of prayer. Brother, I don't believe He prayed this one time. I believe it was a life prayer. I believe He woke up every day and this was what was on His heart. God, I need You to do this. God, if You don't take me to the next level, if You don't do this for me, I'm going to die. God, I cannot make it. You'll grieve me so if You don't do this. And God said, you know that guy right there, he's more honorable than the rest of them guys. And He proved it when He stopped right here and gave us His prayer. He didn't say nothing about the prayers of these other fellas, did He? A prayer life becomes a life of prayer. It was more than just a petition. Again, his petition became a pulse. Let that sink down. He didn't just have a list that he took to God, but it was his heartbeat. That's exactly right, preacher. It was his heartbeat. You know what that means? When he laid his head down at night, wouldn't no need in waking up the next morning if he couldn't have what he was wanting from God. Wow. Lord, if I can't have it, You just take my heartbeat. Now, I'm telling you, it gets a little tight when you start thinking about this kind of stuff, and I understand that. I get that. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to get on that cross? Are you willing to go through the suffering? Listen to me. I've been through some things, and I'm not saying nothing about them. I'm just saying, and we've all been through some things. You know as well as I do. Those things that we go through that we suffer, but we keep our eyes on Jesus, and we keep going on for God, and we just stay in our place like our pastor tells us, and we just go on for God and do what God gives us to do and just press on and put one foot in front of the other. And even though our flesh is screaming and hollering, He don't want to go through all that. You know what's happening? He's going on that cross and He's dying out. Amen. He's dying. He's dying. He's dying. And when we go through that, you cannot deny that it changes you on the inside and your desire for Jesus and for the things of God. Miss Carolyn, am I telling it right? Absolutely.
The prayer life becomes a life of prayer. You see, this prayer was more than just words.
It was his heart. It was his heartbeat. It was his life's blood.
Look at Luke chapter 18 with me, if you will. I'm going to give you this, and then we'll try to get the wheels down on this thing and get her landed. Luke chapter number 18. If you get there before I do, just wait. I'll be there in just a minute. I got it marked and still can't get to it. There it is. Don't do no good to put sticky notes on them when you got so many of them because you can't remember what each one of them goes to. I used to color coordinate that stuff and I kept forgetting the colors. So that didn't help me none either, amen? So y'all just have to be patient with me. Look at Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Is that not what Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? Pray without ceasing. Amen. He says in verse 2, now look at this. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. He wouldn't do it because he liked her. He's just trying to get her off of his front porch. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. This is a lost man. What Jesus is saying is, if a lost man can figure this out, huh? If a lost man sees it this way, what's our problem? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night? That's praying without ceasing. That's day and night. That's exactly what Jesus is dealing with, is a prayer life being a life of prayer. Look what he said, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. And then he brings this thing home. Look what he says in verse number 8 concerning prayer. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, look what Jesus says. He asks the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? He didn't say prayer. He said faith on the earth. You know what Jesus just did? He just tied prayer to faith. He just hooked prayer and faith together right there. When you go into your prayer room, when you go into your prayer closet, whenever you go to your place, wherever it is, whenever you get in there, you know what God's doing? God is listening. He knows you're there. And he's listening because you're there because you're exercising your faith. You're putting your faith. You wouldn't go to him if you didn't believe he's going to do something. So what do? We say, dear God, we go through our prayer and we say, we pour our heart out to him and we say, God, here I am. Here I need you to do this. Lord, I can't do it without you. I need you. That is faith. Any way you look at it. Amen? So this life of prayer becomes this prayer life becomes a life of prayer. So your faith becomes a life of faith. You're no longer just walking in the realm of, well, if God works it out, I guess that'll be a good thing. No, you get to the place where you're going to die if you can't have this relationship with God. That's where Jabez was at. The way he got there was more than just a little flippant prayer that he did every morning before he went to work. He got out and agonized with God. Not just with petitions, but with himself. God, he did like David. He said, search me. You ever been in your prayer closet and just, you wasn't asking God for nothing, for nobody else? You just allowed the Holy Spirit to look down inside of you. And you didn't even say anything. You just sit there. And you just let God do what God wants to do down inside. And then he begins to reveal things. And then you begin to talk to him, oh God, please help me with that. God, I know you're not happy with that, Lord. I'm so sorry. And he'll move on to something else. And I mean, next thing you know, you done repented for 30 minutes and you think it's just been 5 minutes. What's God doing? Your prayer life has just come a life of prayer. Because now your faith is being exercised in your prayer. You're believing God. And by the way, did you know that's what he's wanting all along? You see, our prayers, we forget about them. Sometimes we'll go and ask one time or two times or five times or 10 times and then they just sort of fade away. And we quit asking again. I know we've got some things that are near and dear to our hearts.
And we may have been praying for years over these things. We've got people we've been praying for years and things in our lives that we've been praying for and all those kind of things. And those things say near and near to hearts, but there's so many things that we'll pray for a little while and then they just sort of get cold and cool and then we just sort of sweep them out the door and forget about them. Can I say God never forgets them? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Every prayer that you've ever prayed in faith and from your heart, look what God's doing with it. Revelation 5 and 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We might forget them. They might become flippant to us. But God puts them in a vial. And then you can go through heaven on this. Then you go, what's that smell? Man, that smells good. That's what God does. Man, that smells good. Oh, that's the prayers of the saints. That's your prayers. God ain't forgot them. God takes them up, puts them in that vial, and one of these days he's going to bring them back out. Amen? How do we get to this place? I want to say this. Continued prayer. Listen to me. Continued prayer is continued faith. When you quit praying, you quit trusting. Continued prayer is continued faith. This prayer is more that Jabez gave us over here in 1 Chronicles. This prayer is more than just an expansion of our workload, but the enlargement of our heart towards and for God, our Savior, by faith. Not just a one-time faith, but a life of faith and prayer. We don't live this life to be Christians. You listen to me carefully. We don't live this life to be Christians or God's people, but we live this life because we're sons of God. I'm not doing it to be a Christian. I'm doing it because I'm a Christian. It starts within. It's not something that I put on like a coat. It's something that started on September 14, 1984 in a little country church in Fancy Gap, Virginia, when God came my way and showed me I was a lost sinner on my way to a devil's hell that night. And I held on to my life, and I held on to my life, and I held on to my life. But there came a time in that invitation where I said, no! And I turned loose of my life, and I turned my path to Jesus. I turned to God, and He saved me right there and made me a brand new creature. Put the desires of God down in my soul. And thank God now I can have faith in Him forevermore. Amen. Don't raise your hand. But I don't want you to forget this prayer. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you would be willing to take this prayer right here and let this thing get down in your heart? It's way more than just expanding our workload, I promise you that. But it's expanding us with Him. It's Him pulling us closer to Him. Amen? Enoch walked with God and was not. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a was not? Wouldn't it be wonderful for God just to come along and we're walking hand and we're so close to Him, we can smell Him, we're so close to Him and He's so close to us. He says, you know what? I think it'd be just a real good idea if you just come on home with me today. And we never even look back.
We never even look at ourselves. Well, what about? No, we're not like Lot's wife. Right. We're not looking back. We're looking forward with Him, with Him, with Him, with Him. How many of you be willing to do that? 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Let that thing get down in your soul. Take each one of those little prayers. It's more than one. It's more than one request in that prayer. It's five of them. And just let those things work down in our hearts. You'll be amazed at what God will start showing you in your life. He'll start getting rid of things. You'll start seeing things you didn't see before. You know what? All of a sudden, those things that used to bother you won't bother you no more. Those things that used to mean so much to you, they won't mean nothing to you anymore. They get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer because He gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. He must increase. I must decrease. Amen. If we're going to get to where Jabez was at, that's what it's going to take. We're going to have to see sin being sinful. Amen? Listen to me. We're going to have to realize our past doesn't dictate our future. We're going to have to die to self. And our prayer life is going to need to be a life of prayer. Because a life of prayer is a life of faith. You willing to do that? Are you willing to commit to that? Are you willing to let God put you on a cross and kill your flesh at any cost? Or have you put a cost that you, well, this as long as it don't cost me more than this, I'm okay with that. Jesus didn't do that. He gave all that He had to give. God our Father gave the very best that He had to give when He gave His Son. Would you commit to that? Saying, God, work that in me. Work that down in me. That's what I want. And if you don't want that, would you commit to letting God work that desire down into you? Do you really want it? Amen? Preacher, I'm done. Let's all stand. I want every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.